For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And the latest Kilcoin conversation is going to be baseball-driven, Cardinal-driven, with the team owner, Bill DeWitt, getting set for his 25th year in charge of the Cardinal franchise here in St. Louis. I'm Fox 2 Sports Director Martin Kilcoin. Our visits here, the Kilcoin conversation brought to you on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Continued great content here, especially people in lockdown, sheltering at home, staying at home. Let your friends know there's a lot of good material here. Maybe you're out walking the neighborhood or just hanging in the home office. Check us out. ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. You can also subscribe. Google, iTunes. That way you make sure you don't miss any of the segments. The Kilcoin conversation. We're going in a lot of different directions. We talked to the president of the Board of Aldermen the other day. That's Lewis Reed. We talked to Kenny Wallace. Bill DeWitt talking baseball. A lot of different directions. You never know what direction we'll be going. But Bill DeWitt will be featured today, the Cardinals owner, on a Thursday, yesterday, that was scheduled to be the home opener. So we'll talk to Bill. The presentation, the conversations are presented by, I should say, Marita Villa Senior Living, Triad Bank, Greenville University, Fast Eddie's, Bon Air, Urban Chestnut Brewery, Cope 24, and B&G Tuckborning. Support our sponsors as best you can during these difficult times. And now we'll cue the organ and talk baseball with Mr. DeWitt. It's almost like we're there, except we're not. We wish we were there. Boy, of course, the weather's great, which would have been a home opener for the Cardinals taking on the Baltimore Orioles. Really, this Thursday would have been around this time as we sit here now at 2 o'clock Central, parading around the Cardinal outfield and the infield. Let's talk some baseball with the Cardinals owner, the chairman, Bill DeWitt Jr. Bill, welcome in. I always say to folks, how are you? But in these current times, I guess it just sounds strange. Nobody's really normal at this time, but how are you getting along?
Doing okay. You know, I'm still in Florida. I stayed here after spring training when the season got pushed back. So I'm kind of hunkered down here. And, you know, when you played that song, I could visualize the Clydesdales and wish we were all at Busch Stadium watching the opener. But actually, I'm in the ballpark at Roger Dean Stadium, and I'm in my office here. No one is here. It's pretty much shut down. But I'm looking out my window to the beautiful ballpark in Jupiter, Florida. So it's a sunny day and no baseball, but it's nice to see the green grass.
Yeah, and in these buildings, Roger Dean, Busch Stadium, when you go around them now, and I was interviewing Bill DeWitt III last week, and we're standing on Clark at Ballpark Village, and we're probably out there, you know, by the time we're done, probably been out there for 45 minutes, and we didn't see anybody. And these are buildings and places where people gather. It makes it even weirder. I mean, it's one thing to walk down your street that might be a quiet street, but when you go to a building that normally has 40,000 people, I think it hits you. And I would think when you're staring into an empty building, and it's been empty for weeks, it's got to be almost eerie.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about it. You know, it's like even in the off season, there's action down here. You know, we've got Palm Beach Cardinals who play during the regular season, but I get down a couple times a year. We have meetings down here and with our player development staff off season. And, you know, there's always something going on. There's instructional league or something. And here I am looking at a totally empty ballpark with the field open. The only thing, we've got a tarp on the mound and a tarp over home plate. Other than that, you know, we need a few people and some baseball players.
I believe Rob Manfred lives, the commissioner lives in the Jupiter area, does he not?
He's got a place down in Juneau Beach, which is not far from here.
Okay.
In fact, it's pretty close to the ballpark. And he's been up here a few times, and he's, I know his main office, obviously, is in New York, but he's been spending a fair amount of time here. He was here in spring training when the teams are around, and so, you know, he's been moving around a little bit, but right now he's pretty hunkered down, too.
Yeah, and I know, as you mentioned, he was there at the Cardinal facility, and as things were sort of evolving there, how often have you talked to him at this point? What are you hearing? What's realistic? I think everybody's sort of afraid to make a guess, but what are the options even that are on the table?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, a lot of things have been kicked around. You know, when the season might start, where it might start, you know, what the format could be. So right now, you know, we're on pretty much lockdown through the end of April, and I think everybody's looking to see a peak in cases, and it's sort of like, you know, wait and see. But, you know, they're running various schedules that might be put together. I know the Players Association's very interested in playing as many games as possible, limiting off days. And so hopefully we do get started, and once we get started, we'll see a lot of baseball, but when that begins, nobody knows.
And do you think the players' union, you know, historically the players' union and the owners don't agree on everything. Do you think coming out of this there's going to be a level of understanding, like, hey, let's play as many games as we can. It may not be perfect. We might have a World Series in November, but what do you say? We'll try this, you know, whatever it is, 100 games, whatever they come up with. Do you think people will be more agreeable than typical situations?
I think so. I really do. We were able to reach an agreement on what's going to happen early on here. And, you know, it was fair. We paying them, you know, substantial amount of money. And, you know, there are a lot of provisions in that agreement that, you know, that were agreed to. And, you know, when it's business as usual and things are going well, sometimes that can be harder to make an agreement because it's a matter of how you split the pie. But, now we're all in the same boat. Players want to play. You know, we're looking to get the season in, and you know, there are obviously financial challenges for teams, and I think they're understanding of that.
You think more teams in the playoffs would make sense because it's going to more than likely be an abbreviated season, so that opens the door for more qualifying and, you know, potentially more revenue if you have more playoff games, even if it does extend later than October.
It could, you know, it could be because, you know, I think whatever format comes out, it depends on when we start. If we get, you know, mostly a full season, and then it's probably, you know, business as usual. But if, in fact, we don't, and, you know, there's some change in the game and the schedule, and then, you know, all bets are off, and I think MLB, the commissioner's office, excuse me, and the teams will be creative in how they do the games and how we do the games in the playoffs.
Yeah, Scott Boras, I think, is the one who put it on the table. What about a tournament series that went into December? You're playing on Christmas. I mean, I guess nothing's being ruled out, but ultimately, who will decide what it looks like?
Well, I think commissioner's office will take the lead on making recommendations with input from the clubs, and then get together with the players and say, kind of, here's what we think, here's where we are, you know, what makes sense. And so, you know, that's down the road a bit, but, you know, for now everybody's thinking about the possibilities. The commissioner has a great staff. They're creative, they're smart, and they're, you know, everybody seems to be working at home, but they're able to do it. And, you know, if this happens and we can do this many games and this kind of format, and none of the clubs have really seen any of that, but I know they're working on it and really haven't had a chance to solidify anything or present it to the clubs.
So as we sit here on what would have been the home opener for the Cardinals, when you think ahead and when that day comes, whether the home opener is in June or July, whenever, what's that going to be like? Because you'll have your red jackets, the Clydesdales, we'll hear that music playing. What do you think that day will be like? You've been through a lot of these. How different will this one be?
Well, I think opening day is opening day. And you know, we hope to have one in St. Louis, and if in fact we do, which, you know, I certainly hope, it would be all the festivities, and you know, unless we had certain constraints, but I don't anticipate that happening. And you know, everyone would take it as the opening day, because it would be our first game, and you know, it's a special day in St. Louis.
And I don't think it compares, because 9/11 was a, you know, a totally different scenario there. But when we came back and we had the Jack Buck poem, that was an incredibly emotional night. It's going to be different than that. It's not the same thing. We can't compare everything. But I've been thinking a little bit about that period where we weren't sure when it was the right time. All of the debate then, when do we play again? What are your memories of that coming back in 2001?
Yeah, that was quite a period of in our history. And I remember Jack getting on the field and reading that poem, and it was fabulous. I mean, one of the great moments, which is hard to say because Jack had so many great moments, but, you know, that was right up there with him. And I think it just, everybody gave him a standing ovation, and, I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, you know what Tony told me in a podcast a year ago, I think, that before that night, Jack, those two were very close, as you know. And Jack actually went into Tony's office. You got a minute, sir? And they sat down, and Jack read it to Tony. He said, I actually had a preview to what Jack was going to do that night. The perfect guy to deliver that message. There have been so many great Cardinal moments, and now we're talking about a long legacy here. When you reflect a little bit about the Cardinal ownership, what stands out to you? Because from the early days of, you know, taking over the brewery, things had kind of gotten off track as far as the organization. What stands out to you of what you guys, your group, has been able to do?
Well, this year was pretty much a milestone because 25th season, hopefully we're out there playing it. But when we took over, you know, I knew, obviously, growing up in St. Louis, being a Cardinal fan, my father was in the business, what a great franchise it was, what the Cardinal franchise meant to the city, wonderful legacy of success from really the early 20s through when we took over. Not every year perfect, but in general, a great legacy of success. Impressive players who represented the club so well. And our goal, and I said it at the time, was to really maintain that tradition and history and hopefully build on it. And I feel like over the past 24 seasons, we've been able to do that. And, you know, it's a challenge. Baseball is a competitive business, and, you know, we've had success, but we haven't been perfect. And, you know, we've obviously made mistakes along the way. But overall, I feel good about what these past 24 years, and hopefully we'll have a 25th season, have done for the Cardinal legacy. We've had some great players, you know, championship teams, and by and large, winning teams. And so I feel very good about kind of where we are at this point.
And you've had so many great moments. It's hard to pick, but your fans on Twitter, the Cardinals conducted a favorite greatest Cardinal moment, and the David Freeze Game 6 home run, one out, and I know Freeze commented back thanking the Cardinal fans. That's tough to beat. How about for Bill DeWitt? Can you do your top five, even not necessarily in any order, of your favorite Cardinal moments that have transpired since you've been the owner, not necessarily going back to the Ozzie or Jack Clark home runs that preceded you, but on your watch here, can you give me five that stand out?
You know, it's hard to say because there have been so many of them, but obviously you have to say the World Series championships are two of them. And then the pennants are two, and so many individual moments. I think of Wainwright striking out Beltran. I think of Jim Edmonds making a catch and hitting a game-winning home run. I think of Pujols hitting the home run in Houston and all the great moments he gave us. I mean, there's so many over this, you know, long period of time that McGuire, what he did, the 62nd home run, and then 70. I mean, what a season that was to watch. You know, they've just been in the playoffs a lot, so come from behind. the 2011 season. So, you know, obviously the freeze exploits in 2011, but you're right, that home run was quite something. The triple over Nelson Cruz's head was that was a pretty big moment too.
Oh yeah, I mean, and then yeah, Berkman's hit was huge because people sort of forget Hamilton homered, and we're like, oh man, after all of this, it's still going to end. I'm like, damn, it was a great story, and because the freeze triple was great, but it only tied it, and then Hamilton's going to be the spoiler until Berkman delivers. And Lance is funny enough; he'd probably remind us, "Y'all never talk about me, do you?" But that was huge.
Oh, I know that base hit he got with two outs.
But I think as you roll through them, it's true. You just can't narrow it down. Give me a thought. You were there throughout the spring. Your look at what was going to be the 2020 club, what stood out at you and what concerned you from what you saw as they played the majority of the spring games?
Well, I was encouraged after, spring training as far as we got because, you know, our pitching was shaping up pretty well. Michaelis was injured, but, you know, that was – you know, he was going to come back reasonably soon in the season. KK came in from South Korea, did a really good job, and impressed everybody with his demeanor as well as his pitching and his enthusiasm. You know, I think our infield is so solid. And, you know, we were looking at our group of young outfielders, and, you know, they did a nice job. Bader had a good spring. Carlson really had a good spring. Lane Thomas had moments, and, you know, he got off to a little slow start but then turned it on. Tyler O'Neill was doing well. So, you know, it was fun to see, and you know, there were going to be some decisions to make on, you know, opening day, who's actually going to play those three outfield spots. We knew Fowler was, you know, a solid player, has been for us. But, you know, the other ones, you know, it's just going to be fun to see how it played out and watch these young guys develop.
And a big focus for a lot of us was Dylan Carlson and that decision in a crowded outfield. But he seemed to be doing everything possible. He was going to make that a tough decision. Where did you stand on that as far as what made sense? I think the original thought was, hey, he begins in the minor leagues, maybe at some point gets called up. But then I think there was an argument, if he looks so good, how can you leave him behind? What was your takeaway on Carlson?
Well, he was impressive, no question. I mean, he did everything. He ran the bases well. He played the outfield well. He had a good offensive spring. But, you know, given his age, who knows what had transpired. We did have some games left, so I don't know where that would have been. I think the odds are that you know, some of the guys who had been there might have been ahead of him a little bit, but who knows? It's tough to say at this point in time what the team would have been leaving camp.
What, and was service time an issue? People bring that up. Hey, they're going to wait a little while because you don't want to start the clock. Would that have been a factor?
We don't really look at that. I mean, you know, we want to play the best players. When you see what we did with Albert Pujols, he made the opening day roster, and, you know, he deserved it. So, you know, we want the best team. On the other hand, you can't put everything on spring training. You have to look at a player's history and, you know, are they ready or do they need a little more seasoning? So it's a you know, it's an evaluation of what's best for the club and what's best for the player.
As you look at the Central, the Reds were real active. I know you're there in Cincinnati a lot, too. You hear about it quite a bit. Do you think it was legitimate that they were a real threat to win the Central this year?
I do. You know, they got Moustakas at second and, you know, added some other players, and they've got really good pitching. So, you know, I think a lot of the experts, so-called experts, were picking them. I think the Central Division, coming out of spring training, not finished with spring training, but when we do play, it's going to be a dogfight because they're all good clubs. Pittsburgh's better, I think, than people are sang, and they've got some good young players, but they're in a rebuild mode to a degree. But the other four players are teams are highly competitive, and you know, it'll be fun once we get going.
Bill, we'll let you go. Good to catch up, and hopefully next time we talk, we'll be previewing the actual 2020 season. I look forward to that.
That would be great. Thanks a lot, Martin. Always good to be with you.
All right, take care. That's the Cardinals owner, chairman, Bill DeWitt Jr.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.